Anybody there? Good evening, truth seekers. Well, that was kind of cool. About 5 seconds after the music started playing, bang! Power outage, but it came right back. It's hell living in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. It really is, but that's where we are. Welcome, truth seekers. I hope you had a nice 2 days off. Thanks to Brad Friedman for filling in last Friday. I have no idea what we played on Thursday, but I'm sure it was wonderful. This hour is being sponsored by Alice in Arkansas. That's Helen Hollers. You know who it is, right? Helen Hollers, right? I have to tell you, let me just do a little commercial, okay? And then I'll get into the hardcore stuff. But just take a deep breath. Alice at Helen Hollers in Arkansas is sponsoring this hour. You know, in the winter, when it starts to get cold and dry, ever notice how around the tips of your fingers over to the side? Look at the tip of your finger over there to the side where the nail goes back into the quick. You ever get those little cuts? You ever get those little, your skin breaks and it just hell. We get them down here all the time until we start using this whipped shea mint from Helen Hollers. Please try it. Alice has a message this hour. This hour is sponsored by the ghost of Jimi Hendrix, who told us all that when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Visit Helen Hollers, helen-hollers.com, and smooth away that dry winter skin. Thanks again, Alice. Whipped shea mint, if you haven't tried that. All right, listen, last week, or was it the week before, towards the end of the week, I started that lesser of two evils thing again about, I got so pissed off at the Republicans. I would like to see all Republicans, who are now office holders, just disappeared, raptured, something, just gone. And try to salvage the country from what's left over. And this weekend hasn't helped any. What's going on, I think it's still going on tonight, hasn't helped any. I really do despise these bastards. I mean, they really are trying to kill the country. And I think it was about 10 days ago I said, okay, no matter what, we've got to hold our noses and go Democrat one more time. And it was a moment of weakness and fury that made me say that. And I've gotten a bunch of emails over the past week. A couple came in today, and Bob Alexander wrote a piece that obliquely refers to what I said. It's not about me. It's just I'm going to share that piece with you a little bit later tonight. But yeah, it just had one sentence in there that you know, I read, I thought, yep, okay. So, is it possible to take things back? Any chance? Now, see, if we were all Christians, there'd be no problem. I could just ask for forgiveness and redemption and, you know, reverse course, everything would be okay. You know, when you're a Christian, you can commit mass murder. And at the last gasp, I'm sorry, Jesus, you're okay. So I don't know. But I do want to claim this is a false claim. This is a stupid claim. But I'm going to claim it anyway because I've got to just in my little world, which is very small, believe me. But in my world, I've got to save a little bit of face here. Just a tiny bit. So I'm backing off the vote Democrat thing completely. This is the whole thing is obscene. It's the system, not the political parties. The political parties are on a death match or in a death match. And having been a Democrat for 70 years, I still find myself, maybe you do too, I don't know. I'm talking way too much about me here, but I just wanted to get this clear that I had a moment of madness and went bonkers. I forget what the filthy Republicans did, but every time the filthy Republicans do something, it causes a lot of us who are normally fairly sane to, you know, get closer to the snap point, and some of us will go snap, And it's just like, whoa. And I think that's what happened. And it was like, you know, vote for anything. Vote for a tree stump. Vote for, you know, rotten eggs. Just don't vote Republican. And, but the truth is, don't vote for either one of them. Find a candidate, find a third party candidate and do that. Or don't do anything. But, anyway, to the listeners of this program, and, you know, there's no way that I can balance in my little world. You know, my 38 listeners, 20 of them are going to say, yay, way to go, Malloy. The other 18 are going to say, oh, Jesus, there he goes again. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. I'm only talking about me for a few minutes here. So, no. No Democrats, no Republicans. That's it. As you know, Christopher Hitchens died last Thursday, I believe. Professional Christians couldn't wait to jump on his corpse. Huh? Didn't they all? I mean, the ones that said they loved him. Oh, we love him. He's our favorite atheist. But now that he's dead, he's standing before the judgment of God, and he's finding out what the truth is. You bunch of ghouls. You bunch of goddamn ghouls. You really are. You really are. I mean, you're just ghouls. And Kim Jong crazy bit the big one on Sunday. I was watching some of the videos. I don't know if they're staged or not. I really don't care. But watching the videos of people in North Korea, you know, beating their breasts and beating the ground and crying and you know, dear leader is gone. Dear leader is gone. Dear leader's obviously incapacitated son now takes over. This is kind of scary. It really is. But what was even scarier, Senator John McCain said today that the world is better off now that Kim Jong-il has croaked. And McCain predicted that Kim Jong-il would join the likes of Hitler, quote, in a warm corner of hell, end quote. Ooh, John, that's, you know, warm corner of hell. McCain's Republican thugs, including Mitt Romney, joined in saying bluntly that Kim will not be missed after decades of oppression and threatening the world with his nuclear program. McCain said, quote, I can only express satisfaction that the dear leader is joining the likes of Gaddafi, bin Laden, Hitler, and Stalin in a warm corner of hell, end quote. You know, I'd like to ask McCain just a couple of questions. And first of all, Kim Jong-il truly was a beast to his own people. I'm surprised he wasn't murdered, or at least an attempt. But then again, when you stop and consider that he and his father have run the country for over 60 years, and now the number three son is going to take over, it's no wonder that nobody in North Korea doesn't export anything, do they? No music, no art, no poetry. No sports, no symphonies, no paintings, nothing. But I'd like to ask McCain something. Who did Kim Jong-il invade? What border did he cross, Senator McCain, that makes you condemn him to a warm corner of hell? How many people did he blow to pieces with shock and awe for a drone aircraft? And while you're considering that answer, Mr. McCain, let me ask you the follow-up question. How many did George W. Bush and Dick Cheney invade?
I'm Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Boy, it didn't take long. I got an email from someone who says, I knew it was too good to last. Those periods of clarity just fade away and are gone. Yeah, well, you know, I do the best I can. I don't know. I just do the best I can. So, McCain, who spent the better part, or a good part of his military career until he was turned into a POW, blowing people up and killing people, not as a soldier in combat up against his counterparts on the other side. Not that anything about Vietnam was rational or sensible or sane. But McCain didn't pick up a rifle and go into the jungles and fight for U.S. imperialism. He flew overhead and bombed and killed civilians. One only can guess how many? Hundreds? Thousands? And I'll tell you what, Mr. McCain, when you die and go to hell, Kim Jong-il will be there waiting for you in a warm corner of hell. Yeah, who did Kim Jong-il invade? And who did Bush invade? Was Kim Jong-il an idiot? Of course. Was Bush? Of course. Cheney? Of course. You want to go right down the list? And within hours of the death of Kim Jong-il, Donald Trump caused an awful lot of trouble in that Stalinist country by announcing that he would run for the presidency of North Korea. Trump told reporters en route to Pyongyang, quote, Kim Jong-il ruled North Korea as the egomaniacal leader of a personality cult. I can only offer continuity of leadership, end quote. Trump's bid may be complicated by reports that despite his death, the mercurial Kim plans to remain in power until 2024. One Korean government source said, quote, he intended to rule North Korea until 2028. His death moves up that timetable a bit, end quote. And in Pyongyang, North Koreans officially marked the death of Kim by having their first meal in 30 years. Officials said that in accordance with the dictator's wishes, Kim will be strapped to a nuclear weapon and buried in South Korea. According to the Borowitz report. Homeowners in Hudsonville, Michigan have been singled out for displaying what an anonymous letter writer calls pagan lights and decorations on their properties. Why, of course. Of course it's pagan. On Wednesday night last, residents of Vintage Drive in Hudsonville, Michigan, found a letter attached to their mailboxes suggesting that anyone with Christmas lights or decorations should rethink their beliefs because Christmas displays honor the pagan sun god and do not pertain to the birth of Jesus. Yeah, okay. The letter started out on a friendly note with, Hi, neighbor, you have a nice display of lights. But this self-described love note quickly changes tone, explaining how the pagan tradition of putting up lights began. One of the people who received the letter said, quote, I laugh because I think it's ridiculous that people would get upset over Christmas lights, end quote. And besides the speaking out against the holiday lights, the letter claimed that the use of mistletoe, wreaths and Yule logs were in no way representative of Christmas. Well, yeah, okay, so. Those who received the letter said they don't know who wrote them. another resident on the street said, quote, it's a sin to judge other people and to tell people that if they have have Christmas lights, they are pagans. We're not pagans. We go to church regularly. My kids go to the Christian school. I think next year we should put on a huge display. End quote. That's right, lady. That's exactly what you should do. But whoever wrote the letter, whatever their intent was, and obviously it was a pissed off Christian, probably. Maybe not. Maybe it was a real pagan. But the fact is, yes, it is pagan. It is. the sun, deck the halls. That's an ancient pagan thing. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing. Christmas lights, Yule, mistletoe, holly, blazing logs. God, I love this time of year. I just love this time of year. I swear to God, I do. Okay, we have a moment with Bob a little bit later tonight. We also have something from Bruce Enberg and a bunch of other stuff. And we'll be taking your calls a little bit later, so stick around. Oh, and an announcement about Green 960 in San Francisco. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Tonight, after the break at the top of the hour, we'll be talking with Greg Palast. As you know, I don't do interviews. I just don't. Every once in a while, sure. Every once in a while, if it's something that I think is different, unique, important, like the Nurses Association working as hard as they can to support the Occupy movement, to support social justice, social welfare in this country and abroad. But Greg Palast, whom I first met, oh my God, what, Kathy, 12 years ago? Long time ago. Back when The Best Democracy Money Can Buy first came out, and then, of course, one of my favorites, Armed Madhouse. But this new one, Vulture's Picnic, subtitled In Pursuit of Petroleum, Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. Yow. And, you know, we had a lot of disruption here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains today. This power outage hit just as I had picked Molly up from school and we were on our way home. And there were trees down near the road that we turn onto, so the gendarmes and the power companies and the police and the fire departments would let nobody in to that particular area. So we tried a back route, and sure enough, they had that closed off too. So we had to park the vehicle and hoof it in. Meantime, the temperature is about 41 degrees with a wind chill factor of about 36, and and I had the dog, so Molly and I and the dog had to work our way through some pretty interesting terrain to get home. And once we got home, of course, no power in the house at all. Nothing. You know, nothing. Thank goodness for cell phones, right? And then it was a matter of building a huge fire in the fireplace and we still had a couple hours of daylight left, getting all the candles and flashlights and lanterns together. And of course, you know, when you're 7 years old, it's a hoot. It's fun, right? Build a big fire in the fireplace and have, now we have a gas stove, so cooking dinner was not that difficult at all. And, but to gather in front of the fireplace and, not have a sound, nothing beeping, no radios, actually no traffic. No street lights popping, or not street lights, but road lights popping on. No, nothing. And with all the cloud cover here, and we have a winter storm expectation tonight, I think. With all the low cloud cover, it got dark around 4:45. And so we called our satellite company, Dial Global, and told them the situation. And they have on hand, in case you ever hear this, if you ever hear a program that, and you sit there and go, oh my God, how old is this? They have a program up there that we keep there just in case. Since we don't work at a radio station, we have no backup systems here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. And so our satellite uplink folks have something that if the power had not come back on, they would have played this. So if you're ever listening for the program, 9 o'clock Eastern rolls around, or whenever you hear the program, and all of a sudden you hear us talking about something that happened several months ago, not to worry. It just means that we have been made powerless. But we missed a lot of email. I'm sure we had sponsors tonight. As a matter of fact, now, finally, Comcast has got it back together, and we're now back in the connected world. You know, cable television, internet access. But it's kind of interesting. It happens a lot now. It's going to happen more and more and more. But it gives you kind of a preview of what it will be like when there is no power, or when the power is limited. So much of the world deals with this kind of a situation anyway. Not the European world. No, of course not. Not the capitalist world, the industrial world, the world that is polluting everything. But the other world, intermittent power availability. But to be in the kind of terrain that we're in, and here at the Molloy compound, as the sun goes down and nothing comes on, none of the neighbors are lighting up their property. None of the lights that normally go on. We have a bunch of Christmas lights, solstice lights. We don't do Christmas. A bunch of solstice lights out, decorations, and they don't come on. Everything is dark. You ever notice you tend to whisper a little bit when everything is dark? It's hard to yell. And I guess part of that is because there's no ambient noise. All of a sudden, everything is just real quiet. So that's what happened tonight. We now have, just minutes ago, we were reconnected to the internet and to television. So, anyway. Greg Pallas will be joining us when we come back from this break. And we'll chat for a while. Third hour tonight is about Pearl Harbor Day. That's today. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Sorry about the power outage. Well, I'm not sorry. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. But that's what happened over the last 10 minutes of the last hour. Hi. We need to move someplace, Kathy, where they have consistent electric power. You know, having this mice run around a little generator pad in back is just not working anymore. So, anyway, we're back live. 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. This hour is sponsored by Llewellyn. And her message is, Mike, keep speaking the truth every day on the airwaves. You're the best. Llewellyn in California. Thanks, Llewellyn. It's very kind. In the last hour, I didn't mention it the third time, Alice Swanson. Alice at Helan Hollers. Helan-hollers.com. Go to that website and take a look around. You will be as pleased as I was if you buy something. The announcement about Green 960, we have been told the Green 960 is... there's been all kinds of stuff out in the San Francisco market with KGO, Green 960, a whole bunch of changes and this and that and screaming and yelling, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm so far away from it as to be on another planet. We just get the memos. And the latest memo is that Green 960 is not going to flip to all, well, Kathy, you know better than I. They deal with you and not with me because I'm a hysteric and they know that.
Well, it's still a little sketchy, but the lineup is going to change, but there will be no offering, to my understanding, on HD radio anymore. It's not that they're going to move all the progressive talk show hosts to HD. They're going to shuffle them around on the, and Green 960 is going to have a different name. It's not going to be Green 960. It's going to be News 960 or something, or Business Talk or something.
Right.
But there will be Glenn Beck and I think Dave Ramsey and maybe another conservative host, but then there'll also be you and Randy and Tom and I think Norman Goldman and,
of course, we'll have a prime spot, won't we?
Well, no, we won't be live anymore. I don't think any of the progressive hosts are going to be... I don't think anybody's live. I think everything is going to be delayed or changed or something. Randy Rhodes may still be live. I don't know. But I'm not sure when she's on anyway, on Premiere. But we're going to be on, I believe, right now. The idea is 1 a.m. San Francisco time. So, as opposed to 6 p.m. San Fran time. So this would be a time for our Bay Area listeners to not buy an HD radio because apparently there won't be an HD offering at least not now. Things could change in the next few weeks, but from what we've heard now, it might be a nice time, though, if you would like to hear the Mike Molloy show in a more appropriate, timely way.
Reasonable.
A reasonable time, you might consider checking into MikeMolloy.com. We stream live, so you could listen live at 6 p.m. your time, as you always have. You just have to listen, or you could listen on Sirius XM, Channel 127, who have been faithful carriers of this program since its inception about 15 years ago. Or you could always purchase a podcast, which is our favorite choice, and it makes a great gift. And right now we have a holiday, buy one, get one free offer. So you can buy one for yourself and for another little special truth seeker in your life.
That's a great segue. Right into a buy one, get one free. All right, there you have it. This all starts January sometime.
I think it's the 4th.
January 4th.
Okay. First week of January for sure. And don't ask me when everyone, I think Stephanie Miller is going to be on at night. I think.
With the morning program.
Yeah, I think maybe right before you, but I'm not, I don't have it all.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Another email. I want to share some of the stuff with you, just for the sake of discussion. Mike, I confess that I was impressed that you had been sticking to your guns this time and not supporting, enabling Democrats. So I was one of your faithful who literally could not stand to hear your turnaround. Again, I think it makes 4 or 5 election cycles since I've been listening. Even as I'd been waiting for that shoe to drop, despite hope. There is a Buddhist saying that it is skillful to help an elephant who has fallen get up again, but it is foolish to try to stop that elephant while it is falling. I suppose the same might be said for bloated donkeys. The Democratic Party is utterly beyond salvation. The writing was on the wall even before the Cheney administration, but that dark decade of a presidency has notarized and Regnery published that one nascent fact. Their glory days are long gone, thanks to WizKid Clinton and the DLC. In supporting any Democrat in the House or Senate, save a dozen or so, mostly in the Congressional Black Caucus, the party is enabled to continue our triangularized march toward corporatism and Big Brother. You're acknowledging that you are once again casting a lesser evil vote. Almost sounds like a cry for help. It probably was. For my part, I may support statewide Dems on a case-by-case basis, but I cannot imagine ever voting for one again for national office. That includes Senator Shaheen from New Hampshire. I will vote Green or Rocky Anderson's new party or write in if I have to, always well to the left. Perhaps it is conceivable that the Dems might get the message if there are mass defections to the left, but not likely. But I will no longer be fooled into supporting that donkey while it is falling on its ass. There is a talk host who was another favorite of mine until this person turned into an apologist for Obama. Since then, I have literally been unable to listen to that program. The day I listened to the podcast when you announced your 180 turn, I was physically unable to listen to the rest of the podcast. I believe that is the first that I have missed any portion of any of your shows since the first night you debuted on Air America. I will continue my financial support of your show, but cannot listen to segments as on the previous two nights. It breaks my heart. Sincerely, John. P.S. I was unable to make it through Wednesday's show either. As you acknowledge, your rationalizations for voting Democrat are weasel words. I just can't stand to hear them coming from your mouth. Maybe I will go back and fast forward a bit into the podcast. Maybe not. I think back to the good old days when I would turn off the TV every time George Bush was on because I couldn't stand to hear him. I think it took Barack Obama even less time to alienate me so much that I could not stand to hear his voice either. I just could not summon the cognitive dissonance. John. Okay. I certainly understand the sentiments. I've said many times, without trying to be a smartass at all, I've said many times that I wish I had the political clarity of so many people who listen to this program, that so many people listen to this program seem to have. I don't have it. And I guess it's because, I was brought up a Democrat. And like the Catholic Church, sort of, although there was, we didn't have any Democratic aldermen going around raping young Democratic boys and girls. But so that immediately sets us apart from the Catholic Church. But like the Catholic Church, give me a child till he's five, I'll give you a Democrat for life. It's kind of that sort of thing, I guess. And it's hard to break away from a party that has shown itself to be craven cowards. Certainly over the past 10 years, but to a greater degree, longer than that. The betrayal of Bill Clinton was a stench that I just didn't think I could get out of my nostrils. And then along came George Bush and Dick Cheney, and the stench of Bill Clinton sort of passed away. And I'm talking about all the things he did politically, his so-called triangulation, his dog and pony show with Newt Gingrich, all the damage that Bill Clinton did to so many people in this country, and the result of his becoming a Republican are still being felt in a big way, because all the jobs are gone. We'll be right back.
for Radical Talk Radio, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, the fascist governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, according to Forbes.com, has now set his sights on ending the availability of cervical cancer screening and breast cancer screening, along with multiple sclerosis detection, for Wisconsin women who have insufficient health insurance to pay for these critical screening procedures. According to Forbes.com, it's not about money or budgets or unions or any of the usual ideologically driven nonsense we've come to expect from Scott Walker. This time it's just all about politics. The screening service, which goes by the name of the Wisconsin Well Woman Program and is administered by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, contracts with various screening providers throughout the state on a county-by-county basis. Among those who provide these critical services to women between the ages of 45 and 64 is Planned Parenthood. Now, if there's any good news in this fascist bastard's announcement, it is that Mr. Walker is not currently looking to completely destroy the program. You know, if you're a woman fortunate enough to live in a county where the screening is available by any entity that is not Planned Parenthood, why, the tests will continue to be available to you. However, if you are a Wisconsin woman with insufficient funds or insurance to pay for cancer and multiple sclerosis screening, and you live in Winnebago County, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, Outagamie, I'm afraid you now have a problem. Planned Parenthood is the only organization providing the screening program in these areas, and each of the local offices of Planned Parenthood has been notified that their contract with the state to provide such screening will terminate in about 15 days. The coordinator for the Wisconsin Well Woman Program, one Kristen BC, says, quote, "I'm very worried about the women that we serve and the actions taken to remove Planned Parenthood from the Well Woman Program are really cold-hearted and a huge disservice to the women in our communities," end quote. Forbes.com cites an individual case, a Wisconsin woman, Carol Lechner. It was just a month ago that Lechner, who has no health insurance and was dependent on the program for cancer screening, discovered, thanks to the free screening she received at her local Planned Parenthood office, she discovered that she had breast cancer. According to Ms. Lechner, had it not been for Planned Parenthood, she would never have received the life-saving treatment she requires. And as far as this little fascist son of a bitch, Walker, he's already busy trying to minimize the gravity of decision. This is what he said, quote, "There's other providers throughout the state who have all this. Planned Parenthood is not the sole provider of this. There are many clinics that are not as controversial as Planned Parenthood." Controversial. Who made it controversial, you Nazi bastard? "And our goal was to make sure the low-income women had access to those sorts of screenings from other providers around the state that don't carry the controversy you get with Planned Parenthood." Well, that's unquote, end quote, Scott Walker. That makes sense, right? After all, when a woman discovers a lump, her first concern is clearly going to be about the level of controversy that attaches to the one facility in her county that she can depend upon to provide her with a diagnosis in time to save her life. What was this about death panels that Bachman and the rest of these psychotic bastards came up with? Ah, death panels? Scott Walker withdrawing the well woman funding from Planned Parenthood because, according to this Nazi little rat bastard, they're controversial. Controversial. And as Forbes.com says, no doubt the women who will be denied access in the four counties where no such screening will be available can comfort themselves in the knowledge that while they may die of breast or cervical cancer, at least they won't have to expose themselves to some perceived controversy over the local Planned Parenthood treatment facility. And as for the children who will lose a mother, they'll just have to understand that it was far more important that Scott Walker burnish his anti-Planned Parenthood credentials than to allow these kids to grow up with their mom.
Kitten.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Llewellyn. Thank you, Llewellyn. And her message is, Mike, keep speaking the truth every day on the airwaves. You're the best. Thanks, Llewellyn. She lives in Roanoke Park, California. Is it okay to say that part? I guess it is. It's time once again. Wait a minute. Do you hear it? Ah. Another moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. And the subject this time, I wish we'd stop doing this. Hey, Mike. The dominant culture of the United States and most of the countries on this earth is capitalism. We were taught all about it in school. We were told it was God's will in church. We work with it during the day. It pours out of our televisions when we come home. And the only time we can escape from it is when we are asleep. Maybe. Corporate capitalism dominates our planet. We can describe it as an economic system that became dominant in the Western world following the demise of feudalism. Or we can describe it as a self-devouring beast. Your choice. I don't care. Either description is accurate. All I know is it's a capitalist world. We just live in it. Gore Vidal wrote in 1977 the following, quote, "There is only one party in the United States, the Property Party. It has two right wings, Republican and Democrat. Republicans are a bit stupider, more rigid, more doctrinaire in their laissez-faire capitalism than the Democrats, who are cuter, prettier, and more willing than the Republicans to make small adjustments when the poor, the black, the anti-imperialists get out of hand. But essentially, there is no difference between the two parties," end quote. And here's one of my favorite George Carlin rants, quote, "Now, there's one thing you might have noticed. I don't complain about politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck. Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities. And they are elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out." End quote. A capitalist system produces more capitalists. Garbage in, garbage out. The 434 members of the U.S. House of Representatives and 99 U.S. senators are capitalists. The President of the United States is a capitalist. Every Yahoo trying to be the Republican candidate for the presidency in 2012 is a capitalist. Go ahead. Prove it to yourself. Email your elected representative in the United States Congress and ask them if they're a capitalist. Everybody but Senator Bernie Sanders will say yes. The justices of the Supreme Court are nominated by the President of the United States and appointed after confirmation by the United States Senate. The nine justices of the Supreme Court are capitalists. Big surprise. What the hell? I'll throw caution to the winds and go way out on a limb and say it looks like capitalism is fairly well established here. Capitalism's pathological pursuit of profit and power is a neat example of alliteration, and B, the engine of destruction killing the planet and ourselves. Our air, water, and land is fouled because it boosts the corporate bottom line. Our food is genetically modified, grown using toxic chemicals, and then refined to the point where it has little or no nutritional value to increase profits. Our healthcare system is designed to make money from people suffering and illness. Our social safety net programs are being dismantled while trillions of taxpayer dollars are funneled to the richest people in the world. And last but not least, as Socrates said, quote, all wars are fought for money, end quote. Capitalists have corrupted our political and judicial systems, our media, and have successfully eroded the gains that labor and civil rights movements have made in this country. Anyone who doesn't agree with everything I've just written is delusional. Who else is to blame? Socialists? Commies? Muslims? Catholics? Jews? Black or brown people? Martians? From Wikipedia, quote, in U.S. criminal law, means, motive, and opportunity is a popular cultural summation of the three aspects of a crime needed to convince a jury of guilt in a criminal proceeding. Respectively, they refer to the ability of the defendant to commit the crime, that's the means, the reason the defendant had to commit the crime, that's the motive, and whether or not the defendant had the chance to commit the crime, that's opportunity, end quote, Wikipedia. Capitalists are the only group that had the means, motive, and opportunity to destroy the country. I rest my case. Now that that's settled, I only have one more question. Why do we keep voting for these people? Seriously. Why do we get all hot and bothered about which capitalist gets elected to whatever office? What if crazy Michelle Bachmann and seriously deranged Rick Santorum become our next president and vice president? Pick any of the Looney Tunes and imagine them goofing around in the Oval Office. Is Rick Perry with his coloring books and chocolate milk a scarier notion than Willard Romney modeling suits during cabinet meetings? Does it make you feel better to visualize four more years of Barack Obama at the helm of state? Why? Capitalism reigns regardless. Or should I say, insanity rules. Here's what our current Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, said about the ceremonial winding down of the war in Iraq. Quote, to be sure, the cost was high in blood and treasure for the United States and also for the Iraqi people, but those lives have not been lost in vain, end quote. The fighting resulted, Panetta said, in, quote, a free and sovereign Iraq, end quote. President Obama hailed the, quote, extraordinary achievement, end quote, of the military and said they were leaving with, quote, heads held high. He added everything that American troops have done in Iraq, all the fighting and dying, bleeding and building, training and partnering has led to this moment of success, end quote. Would we have felt worse if Republican capitalist John McCain said that? Or is it worse that a Democrat capitalist could glibly make statements that make normal people sick to the core of their being? How to explain what Panetta and Obama said? Were they high on some strange combination of drugs that allowed them to speak lies and gibberish on camera without drooling uncontrollably? Or were they simply parroting the psychopathic capitalist party line? When I was a kid, I was told many times that life in communist Russia was intolerable to freedom-loving people. There was only one party. You could vote, but the candidates were all members of the Communist Party. The regime was always solidly in place, regardless of who won. I am not going to vote for a capitalist in 2012. And don't hand me any of that lesser of two evils crap. To carefully quote George Carlin again, quote, good, honest, hardworking people continue to elect these rich bleep suckers who don't give a bleep about them. They don't give a bleep about you. They don't give a bleep about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. End quote. I don't care whether they're a moderate capitalist or not. I don't care if they're short, tall, fat, crazy, stupid, black, white, conservative, or liberal capitalists. I will never vote for any of them again. It appears they don't have my best interests at heart. Meghan Markle, in the book The Field Guide to the Apocalypse, said, quote, don't blame yourself. The apocalypse wasn't your fault. Actually, it was just as much your fault as it was anyone else's. Come to think of it, you're an American. It was probably about 80 to 90% more your fault than the average human. But don't let that get you down. It wasn't exclusively your fault. Unless you're the president. Then it might be your fault. But you'll have plenty of interns to tell you that it wasn't. So you'll be fine. End quote. Regards, Bob. Another moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. You can find that at tvnewslies.org, probably opednews.com, and hundreds of other websites out there. Well, he certainly has a way with words. I'll tell you what we're going to do after this next break. Let's open up the phone lines and see if he has something to say. That'd be okay? From Stephen in Burbank. Hi, Mike. In certain societies, some people have the mindset that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Al-Qaeda has a hatred of American gangster capitalism, as do I. Since we share that common ground, it's obvious that I'm giving moral support to Al-Qaeda, and therefore, I'm a terrorist. Sooner or later, because of that little provision in the National Defense Authorization Act, the NSA, FBI, and Army Intelligence will be busting down the door at 4 a.m. When that happens, I can only laugh, smile, and say, what a compliment. I'm flattered. When oppression rears its ugly head, some of the first to go are the dissidents, the artists, the thinkers, the visionaries, the writers, etc. Nobody knows this more than Newt Gingrich and Barack Obama. Let the games begin. Stephen from Burbank.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Llewellyn in Rotor Park, California. Her message, Mike, keep speaking the truth every day on the airwaves. You're the best. Oh, that's... You're just saying that because it's true, right, Llewellyn? Thanks, Llewellyn. I appreciate it very much. You want to open the lines, Kathy? Number here is 877-996-2556. Let's hope we don't have a power shortage because we decided to take some phone calls in this godforsaken about over these mountains, I'll tell you. Bradley Manning's gender identity is coming up in testimony. He's having, what, the military equivalent of preliminary hearing? Defense lawyers for an Army private, this is the way it's reported by CNN, an Army private accused in the biggest intelligence leak in U.S. history, brought up Saturday a purported female alter ego of Broadley Manning's as they seek to establish his state of mind at the time of the alleged crimes. The testimony came on the second day of Manning's Article 32 hearing. I think that's like a preliminary hearing, isn't it? Which coincided with Manning's 24th birthday. Special Agent Calder Robertson of the Army CID, or CIC, testifying by phone from Germany, was asked by one of Manning's attorneys if he knew that the Army private had an alter ego with the name Brianna Manning. The agent said he was aware of Manning, that Manning used the name in online chats. During questioning by Manning's lawyer, it was revealed that Manning kept a folder of articles about gender identity disorder in his living quarters. Manning is accused, of course, of being the perp in the leaking of more than a quarter million Pentagon and State Department documents that ended up on the WikiLeaks website. The special agent was one of four with the Army CID who testified Saturday. His testimony included information about how the agent took custody of the computers and hardware seized from Manning's base and made exact digital images of them to assure that the information on them would not be lost in the event of an accident during transportation. I don't know. The United States has charged Manning with 22 counts of violating military code, ranging from the theft of records to aiding the enemy. Conviction on the latter charge probably could land Manning in prison for life, but if a general sees fit, the law would allow Manning to be eligible for the death penalty. Gender identity issues. I don't know. It's escaping me. Maybe somebody will write to me and tell me why that would be a defense. Honestly, I can't. If anything, if his defense attorney is bringing that up, it would seem to me that it would make the military tribunal or whoever it is who's going to the court martial to be even harder on Manning if they had in mind that Manning was an all man. If you know what I mean. I don't understand. Are they seeking, are his defense attorneys or attorneys seeking temporary insanity defense by saying that Bradley Manning had a gender identity issue? Is that, I'm curious. I don't know where this is going. It just seems to me that if you are confronted by a military tribunal and your client's life is on the line, that the last thing you may want to do is to bring, you know how the military is, or at least how we think it is, about gay folk, especially gay men. Wouldn't this court be inclined? I mean, it is a macho organization, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know why this is being brought up as an issue. Maybe somebody will enlighten me. It's getting crazier and crazier. Derek is in New Mexico. Hello, Derek. Hey, Derek.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Hi.
I swear, the halo's back over my head again when you announced that you changed your position back to where we could feel good.
You better be careful, you're going to get dizzy.
Oh, my God. I mean, I know you had a moment, but that's okay, we all do, and we forgive you.
It's just, you know, I just get to the point. Like I said, that's my excuse, Your Honor. I was brought up a Democrat, and it's hard to cast aside the reality that my party doesn't exist anymore. Democratic principles don't exist anymore. It is a, excuse me, it is a capitalist duopoly, and they own both branches of the, as Bob Alexander wrote, both branches of the, or George.
Well, I have had an event happen the first hour of your show, which will reinforce.
Can you hold
your
on?
Feelings.
Can you hold on and tell me
sure.
that event? We've got the top of the hour coming up here, Derek. So if you don't mind holding on, this is like a 7-minute break. So just, I don't know, get a cheese sandwich or something. We'll come back though after the break and take your call immediately. And if you're on hold, stick around. We're going to take phone calls during this third hour of the program tonight. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This hour is being sponsored by KeepWorthy.com. You've heard me talk about this over the past couple of weeks. Visit their website, KeepWorthy.com, for fine children's books and gifts that pass down life's lessons. This is the site and the company that Molly made the commercial for. Read how a reindeer with poor eyesight develops a sense of purpose in Randall's Christmas Vision. By the way, the book includes a pewter finish Christmas ornament. And everything together is $23.95. Check them out. KeepWorthy.com. KeepWorthy.com. It's a good site. It's a good good little company. And they're just getting started. So check them out, okay? KeepWorthy.com. They are sponsoring this hour. Chris Hovey at that website. Thanks, Chris. We were talking with Derek.
Hi.
Okay, the 180.
Oh no, yeah. So yeah, no. Just because you and Mike Farah were like the last hope in Lent, as far as you know, like everybody else is sold out. So I figure, oh gosh. But anyway, the first hour of the program, I got a call from a Democratic fundraiser.
Uh huh.
And he says he immediately can tell he's reading right off of a piece of paper, and he's saying, if you want to support, don't support big interests, send us money, basically, Democratic Party. You know, we need, you know, funds. And if you're in, the corporate interests are basically the Republicans. And I said, well, excuse me, isn't Jeffrey Immelt like on the side of President Obama? And he works for GE. And he goes, who's Jeffrey Immelt?
Of course.
And it's like, dude, do you know anything, or are they just paying you, or what? This is the charade that just makes me want to puke all over the place.
Right. Ask him about Timothy Geithner. Ask him about Timothy Geithner the next
time. He didn't know anybody, Mike.
No, of course not.
You know, and it's like, can you get somebody real on the phone that can really talk to me, or just are you just going to put somebody and have them read a canned speech to get money?
Right.
And it's just disgusting, and I'm sick of it, and I don't care. I'll go third party. I'm just, no more lesser of the two evils. That's it. He said, because it's selling myself out. My soul is sold. It's soul stealers is what it is. Soul stealing, you know, and at least I can live with myself even though they won't win, but.
Well, you know, I get emails all the time on both sides of this issue, and now that I've you know, changed my little mind in my little world, you know, I got a spate of emails here in the past hour that just says, you know, are you crazy? We thought you had waked up to the fact that you have to vote Democratic or fascism is here. And, you know, I don't know.
Hello, I think it's already knocking on our door.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I look at some of the stuff, and I know all the arguments about this, defending Barack Obama, but I look at the things that Barack Obama has signed into law, just like the things that Bill Clinton signed into law. Bill Clinton could have vetoed the destruction of Glass-Steagall, and if the Congress would have overridden it, that's fine, but Bill Clinton would have vetoed it. He could have vetoed this welfare reform crap that he put through that has now made people ultimately here homeless. He could have vetoed not signed off on the NAFTA agreement, and if the Congress is serious about it, they could try some other means to get it passed. And now we have 20% unemployment in this country because all the businesses have gone, as capitalism always does, where the labor is cheapest. So, you know, I'm just, Clinton was a real wake-up call for me, and Barack Obama has just been a kick in the groin. And I just can't avoid it. I keep trying to avoid it. He's, you know, that reality. He's a good speaker. I love it when he gets up there with his rhetoric, Barack Obama. But he does not follow through. And signing off on this military detention act, it's just, that's it, man. I can't do it anymore, and I had my moment of weakness. I think everybody
knows. You know, I don't know if it's going to take, you know, what kind of event Obama's going to have to do to get to shake up these people that will support him no matter what he does. And I just don't, get it. What, does he have to shoot somebody, you know, in the streets, you know, on the Occupy movement for them to really wake up? I don't know.
Well, he is shooting people by proxy. I mean, come on, the drone attacks that, you know, what I read the other day, in his first 18 months as president, he ordered more drone assassinations than George W. Bush did in 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody can say, well, that's a crappy argument, Malloy. We weren't using drones for the first 4 or 5 years. Okay, I'm just saying. And you know, somebody else can say, well, look, you know, we're taking out the leadership of this and that and this and that. No, we're not. We're killing children. We're killing civilians. We're killing this. We're killing that. And I'm just like you, like a lot of people, I'm just sick of it. And Barack Obama now, you know, he go ahead and reauthorizes drilling rights for, of all people, BP, for Royal Dutch Shell or whatever it's called now, ExxonMobil. You know, this idea that he's going to not sign off on the Keystone XL pipeline is a bunch of hog snot. Of course he's going to. So I've had enough. That's it.
Here you
go. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. You know, that's been my argument. But then what happens is, it's truly with me, it's a lesser of two evils situation. You know, I think some of the things that the Democrats are doing are truly evil. I don't mean it in the biblical sense. I mean it in the sense of anti-life. When I say evil, I mean anti-life. Not that life is holy or, I don't know. But this continuation of the Obama administration, the Democratic Party leadership, right up there with the Republican Party leadership, pretending like there's no global warming issue, pretending like we don't have climate change issues that are staring us all in the face. What was I reading in the Times over the weekend? OMG. About the release now, because the permafrost, I remember talking about this a decade ago, that scientists were saying, you know, if the permafrost starts to thaw because of global climate change, and there is permafrost all over the northern reaches of the northern hemisphere, Siberia, the Alaskan wilderness, the Canadian northern territories, if that starts to melt, the methane, or if the Brits, as the Brits say, the methane If that is released into the atmosphere, it is 10, 20, 30, 40 times more effective in producing global warming than CO2. And there's enough methane, apparently, trapped in this frozen tundra that were it all released, it's an extinction-level event, and it's happening. I mean, it's happening. An article in the New York Times on Sunday, just, I don't know, maybe it was an op-ed piece. I guess it was. Maybe it was on the op-ed pages, the Week in Review section. But, you know, there it is. And scientists have been talking about this now for 10, 15 years. If this begins, if this starts to happen, there's no way to stop it. Now, do I blame Obama for the melting permafrost? No, of course not. But I blame Obama for being yet another leader, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter anymore, who refuses, who utterly, steadfastly refuses to confront this issue head on and approach it from the science, and to unequivocally tell anyone who disagrees with climate change to get out of the way because it is happening. I mean, I can sit here, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to come back after this break and take your phone calls. But I could sit here and go down that whole list of, disappointments in the Obama administration. And it's not disappointments. It's catastrophic, cataclysmic, shattering moments of watching what this president did or didn't do after telling all of us that he was going to affect change and bring about hope. We'll be right back.
Fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling that like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking into their pockets. Everybody wants
the hour. The as far as I know, the House has not passed any kind of a measure to extend this payroll tax break or unemployment insurance for 160,000 or 160 million Americans. Not that anyone thought they would. The Republicans are out there to destroy the country as quickly as they can. And the Democrats are there to, I don't know, be a foil. Oh, Jesus, I don't care. I want to drop this in, then back to your phone calls. Associated Press is reporting that Pope Benedict XVI, the Nazi Pope, offered a word of encouragement last week to the Legionnaires of Christ order. Yeah, Legionnaires of Christ. Those are the real serious onward Christian soldiers. Those are the ones who will cut your throat and smile while you bleed. He offered a word of encouragement to the Legionnaires of Christ, which has been kind of rocking and rolling since revelations that its revered founder was a fraud and a pedophile. It never stops, does it? The Legion of Christ ordained 49 new priests last week in Rome. And many legionnaires and their families attended the Pope's general audience inside the Vatican, it says here. In remarks at the end of the audience, the Pope said he was praying that God would support the new legion priests, quote, so that you can carry out with joy and loyalty your mission, end quote. Just keep the little kids away from them, right? Huh? The Pope named an envoy to take over the Legion last year after the order admitted its founder, late founder, the Reverend Marcel Maciel, had fathered three children and sexually abused his seminarians. He was an equal opportunity rapist. Women, boys, men, girls, dogs, cats, it didn't make any difference to this freak. A subsequent Vatican investigation determined that Reverend Maciel had created a system of power based on silence and obedience to cater to his double life, and that the Legion of Christ itself had no clearly defined spirit guiding it. Oh, God. The revelations of Maciel's double life, by the way, affected Pope John Paul II's legacy because Pope John Paul II had held up Maciel as a model who brought money and priests to the church. How does that sound when you hear that? Who brought money and priests to the church? So anyway, the Nazi Pope has given the blessing of the Church of Peter to the Legionaries of Christ. Wow. Tom is in Bullhead City, Arizona. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, Bradley Manning, sexual orientation, and court-martial, and Tom from Bullhead City, Arizona. I got 3 out of 4, experience with. Okay? All right. Bradley Manning, he is talking about right now that because of his stress with being gay, that he was going to give up military secrets for some kind of revenge.
No, wait. Tom, stop a minute. You're way ahead of the curve here. Nothing like this has come up at all in the first place.
Yeah.
Now just hold on a second. In the first place, his sexual orientation is not the issue that his attorney brought up. The issue that his attorney brought up was the possibility of a gender identity issue. There is a vast, vast difference between the two. You're aware of that.
Okay. Well, can I state my experience? I was in the Navy in the 1980s, and I was...
Okay. Sure. You can.
I had a problem
with it. No, wait. Hold on. Tom, come on, man. Come on. You can tell the story. You're going to have to wait till after this break because we got to take a break here. You can tell the story about your experience, but I just want you to be clear on what you're talking about. Nobody up to this point, Bradley Manning's attorney, has not brought up anything about gay or straight or whatever. We're not talking about sexual orientation. That's different from gender identity. It really is. Just stay there, Tom. I'll get you after the break. We'll be right back.
your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by KeepWorthy.com. Go to their website, KeepWorthy.com, for fine children's books and gifts that pass down life lessons. Read how a reindeer with poor eyesight develops a sense of purpose in Randall's Christmas vision. If you buy that book, it includes a pewter finish Christmas ornament for $23.95 total. It's a good website. Check them out. Small business. They're just getting going. This is one that Molly did the commercial for. Christopher Hovey wants you to visit his website, keepworthy.com. Would you do that? Go take a look. Okay, we're talking with Tom in Bullhead City. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of regurgitating what I heard Tom Hartman say today, that when he was talking to his correspondent in Washington, that Bradley Manning was willing to plead that his lawyers had put out that he was willing to plead that he was, had sexual orientation, that was gay, that was, that he was under stress, and that's why he put out that information. And I understand this because my experience, okay, because I was in the Navy and I was in a court martial for a sexual experience that I had with Mrs. Hayden, a fellow person, the guy I worked with, his wife went to a company picnic, and I forcefully placed her foot upon my penis. I can't know if I can say that on the air or not.
Tom, where are you going with this?
No. I was under court martial. I could not reenlist because I
forcefully. Okay. All right. Well, you don't. You can.
And so what I'm saying is that you plea bargain, and you plea bargain. Bradley Manning is plea bargaining, and I'm telling you this in your audience, and it's true. And I'm a truth seeker.
Okay. All right. Well, plea bargaining. That may be, and if that's the case, Tom, okay. You don't spell it P-E-N-U-S. You just don't, but that's all right, Tom. I hear you, pal. Thank you.
Kind of like peanuts.
Peanuts. Can we have another power failure here real quick?
I believe we just did.
Brian is in Everett, Washington. Hello, Brian.
Well, first of all, on a serious issue with all serious issues.
Yeah.
With climate change, the fuel consumption is synchronized with the military adventure as well. So all that project is all running as one destructive, multifaceted sort of death machine with the fossil fuels and the war fueling the Pentagon and all that stuff.
Isn't the U.S. military the largest user of hydrocarbon-based fuel on Earth?
Yeah, but that's the reason why I've got to stop, all my bad habits and my bad, I've got to recycle my newspaper and stuff like that.
Because that'll help. Yeah.
I got to reduce my footprint.
Especially
I don't want to put my footprint in some place that some woman or a man doesn't want it. But I think the issue about Bradley Manning, I think when you deal with a lot of these issues, there's what you call a security fabric, and there are assets that come into the media, whether internet or radio, television. They are security assets. They play upon aspects of culture, media, movies, literature, and things like that. You might be hearing a lot of people popping up from different locations that say, well, I'm such and such from Bullhead, and that relates to one another. It's a fabric. It's like a secure, you might say a security blanket. Remember Linus and Peanuts when he had a security blanket taken away and he was, don't take that security. It's a security blanket, you might say.
What is?
It has different threads in it. And, most of the, just a lot, they're willing to.
Wait, Brian, I'm totally flummoxed here. What is a security blanket?
Well, I'm saying what you call the national security fabric is actually a collection of actors and assets that come into certain media and internet venues to shield really shield the establishment of the elite from scrutiny while they deflect criticism onto the lower classes.
Okay, I got you. You're probably true. You're probably right. Thanks, Brian. Tim is in Los Angeles. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, my comment is regarding the NDAA bills. And
yeah.
Now, two quick points, and then I'll get to your question that I have for you so you can start. Point number one is we're being told, of course, that all of these Patriot Act and so forth are all being done because we need to protect us against terrorists. Well, in 2005, the Patriot Act passed a provision where Homeland Security is allowed to spy on dissident groups merely just for being there, just for being under suspicion,
right.
So forth. So we've got protesters. I would advance the idea that since all of these provisions in Patriot Act have already been passed, I think that, and pretty much everybody, fell for it, is that this is being brought up again. These Patriot Act provisions are being thrown in our faces to news media to pass them yet again, so to speak, when they're already on the books, in order to intimidate the Occupy Wall Street people, saying, now, you people behave, or we're going to throw the book at you, even if you're not brown or from another country, and I think this is part of the psychological fear factor that goes into all of the movements, anti-establishment protests, the questioning of the government that we constantly do. And Tom Hartman show, they did a little bit on the airport screening security, and maybe you can weigh in on this, you guys jet around, you're popular, and you go to these functions across the country. And the Tom Hartman show, they were basically saying, the TV show, that a lot of these airport alerts were, in fact, not factual, to put it in a nutshell. And I was just wondering, do you think, what is your experience with the airports? Screening, did you feel intimidated at all, or did they ever search you? Or
I don't feel intimidated. It's kind of an irritation to, especially when I'm going someplace and I've got my 7-year-old daughter and my 11-year-old grandson and my 9-year-old granddaughter and Kathy and all five of us trying to get through security. And it's like herding cats when you have three kids. And the kids have to be screened, and I don't feel intimidated. I just feel like I don't know. I don't know what I feel like. I would just as soon have the screening, I guess. I don't know anymore. I damn sure don't want to be on an airplane someplace, and my last thought is, what's that noise? I don't want to do that. Tim, thanks. I appreciate you. She had to say. I think most of these security issues are ginned up in order to accomplish some kind of a very definite political agenda, and that is the continuation of moving the country towards fascism. It's right, again, I mean, it's right out of the fascist playbook written by Goebbels and Hitler, Himmler, and the rest of them. You create this external enemy that is just going to gobble us all up unless we completely give over a sense of security, not to mention security itself. We need more money for military hardware. We need more bombs, more planes, more bullets, more machine guns, because they're coming. Oh my God, they're coming! They're coming! I'm so sick of living that way. Of course, I've lived that way all my life. First, it was the Russians, the commies, the dirty, godless commies were coming. And later on, it was, it was different commies, the commies from Nicaragua. They were going to come up through, the Texas-Mexican border. And it was the Vietnamese were in there someplace. They were going to land on the West Coast. And, it just goes on and on. So the Al-Qaeda or whatever the hell it is threat It's just one more in a series of threats. That's all. You know, as far as I'm concerned, there were some religious fanatics, if you want to believe the official story, who decided to hit the United States in its arrogance and did so. And 3,000 people died, and thus began what the capitalist organizations in this country have been looking for a long time, a reason for endless war. Endless war equals endless profits. I mean, that's just how it goes. Go back and read Smedley Butler, or as Bob Alexander quoted tonight, was it Socrates? Is that the person who said, or was it, who was it? Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, I don't know. One of the Greeks who said that, you know, every war is about money. We'll be right back. Before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Chris Hovey at keepworthy.com. Keepworthy.com. Go there for fine children's books and gifts that pass down life lessons. You can read how a reindeer with poor eyesight develops a sense of purpose in Randall's Christmas Vision. That book includes a pewter finished Christmas ornament, and the total for everything is $23.95. Check them out, okay? It's a good little business. Keepworthy.com. Kim is in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
I just thought maybe I could shed a little bit of light on the Bradley Manning issue and maybe what the defense is trying to pursue.
Please do.
Basically, the problem that Bradley Manning is facing is that so many of these national security offenses are what's called strict liability, which means all the government has to prove is did you knowingly do X, okay? So did you knowingly pass along secrets? And whether or not, you know, right and truth was on your side or not is not going to be any defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect what his attorneys are trying to do is basically undermine his state of mind and therefore say he was, because of these issues of gender confusion, et cetera, he wasn't able to actually form a knowing, he wasn't able to knowingly commit these acts, basically.
Then that is some, is it not some sort of insanity defense?
It's, well...
Or temporary insanity.
Well, not really temporary insanity, but just that because of his mental condition, right, he was not, like, he's not culpable or capable. So, yeah,
I'm not sure the term, is a court, and keeping in mind this is a military court, would that be admissible as a possible defense? Or do they rule out, like you said, they rule out certain defenses? What was the first one you just said?
Well, I was just saying the fact that, like, right and truth may have been on his side, or that he had, you know, his, whatever his motives were for revealing the information,
right,
wouldn't be consequential to determining his guilt or innocence. It's just whether or not he was capable of knowingly committing the act.
So will a military court allow as a defense that he was emotionally or mentally or psychologically confused, disturbed, or otherwise not focused on what he was doing? Would that be allowed in a military court?
And I wish I knew the answer to that, Mike, and that I don't. But, I mean, I presume that it is, which is why his defense is raising it. I mean, I really think that the way, given how sort of overarching and how strict a lot of these national security statutes are. I just think their options are unfortunately exceedingly limited. So.
If you were defending Bradley Manning, would you try this defense?
I don't know what else you could try, really. Yeah. I mean, because again, that whole standard of, I mean, would you or I face the same circumstances knowingly do what Bradley Manning did?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'd like to hope so, right? That we'd
right.
be people's conscious and that we would raise up and do it.
Right.
But again, then once you're pushed against facing the death penalty, what do you have to say to that, right?
It seems that, how to say this, it seems that his defense attorneys are starting from a pretty hopeless position if they are starting with I may be wrong here, but if they're starting with this kind of a defense, that they realize that in this particular court, they have no defense. They have no material defense, so they're going to go for this.
I mean, that's certainly how it appears to me. How do you present the fact that he inadvertently, or unwittingly passed along, all this quote unquote, classified information, even though a lot of it was already out there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all the things that resonate with you and I,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately don't necessarily, free him from the legal.
What I'm curious about, from what I saw at the WikiLeaks website, so many of these documents were marked confidential, but they weren't marked, like classified or some sort of classification that would put them in that category where if they were released, the person doing the releasing would be violating some federal law. I don't think releasing a confidential document it violates the law, or does it? I don't know.
Yeah, and again, I apologize. I'm just a two-bit, crim def deportation defense lawyer in Minnesota. I don't have those bigger answers, unfortunately.
Well, I don't think you're a two-bit defense lawyer. Good God. It's so confusing to me. They hold this guy like they did Jose Padilla, although his family said his name was Padilla. They held him until he was physically mentally incapable of cooperating with his own defense team. And I just wonder to what extent Bradley Manning has been, that he is emotionally in the same state at this point.
That he's essentially right. They've made essentially crazy, for lack of a more nuanced way of putting it, right, and is therefore unable to defend himself. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the whole thing is just really sickening, especially again when you consider, and the thing that seems like so obvious, I think, to a layperson is, as you said, these things are just marked confidential. A lot of them were already out there, so it's kind of a big so what.
Mm-hmm.
But the so what, again, is the way the law is written. It's just, did you willingly pass on this information, yes or no?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, thanks, Kim. I appreciate the input. If you hear me getting into uncertain territory about legal issues again, please call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Kim, bye. I appreciate it. Take care. Take care. Yeah, the crime for which Bradley Manning will be convicted, if he is convicted, is the crime of telling the truth. You do not tell the truth in a time when the entire fabric of a global society is run on lies. To tell the truth in that atmosphere is to commit the worst kind of crime. All right, I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.